It was November 1992. The hospital. James, our second born. He was already 2 weeks late. And he was showing no signs that he was going to come out at all. That was James. Yeah. Pretty much the same that, characteristics you're seeing James now, if anyone knows him. That's James up. And we planned to have as non-invasive and as natural a birth as possible. We booked this birthing suite that you could go in the hot tub if you wanted to, and we had ambient music tapes, and, I don't think we had incense that I could have turned in at the time, but we didn't, learn the latest about incense. Everything was going to plan, it was all good, going wrong, with the labour. And then the midwife, she took it, but did a double take. And she put the stethoscope on his tummy, and she couldn't get a pulse from the baby. So from that moment on, what was supposed to be a routine, controlled birth, all nice, everything just went completely upside down from that point in time. Within 10 minutes, after a failed try at a forceps delivery, even was rushed down to the operating theatre, general anaesthetic, the whole catastrophe, and meanwhile, left, have an emergency cesarean. And meanwhile, they just left me out in the corridor by myself outside the operating room, and I just felt helpless. I'm just sitting there.
But I'd only been baptized 4 months before. And it was at that moment that I finally realised that any concept of having any real control over my life just went right out the window. And I was left desperately praying to God to protect Yvonne and for the safe delivery of our baby. Down through the ages, every civilization and every faith has had some form of prayer. Some way to appeal to a higher being. The Aztecs, Israelites, the Vikings, Egyptians, they all have to offer sacrifices, even sometimes human ones, in order to attract their God's attention. In Thailand, the roving Buddhist monks received food donations from devoted households. In return, they offer prayers for their health and success of the family. Remote tribes pray for everyday things like health, food, rain, the children, etc. 5 times a day, Muslims stop whatever they're doing when the call to prayer comes. Prayer is universal because it speaks to some basic human need. We pray because we want to thank someone or something for the beauties and glories of life. And also because we feel small, helpless, and sometimes afraid. The word prayer comes from the Latin word for obtain by entreaty. Or in other words, to beg. And ironically, that Latin word is precarious. It pretty much sums up the general human condition. My task this morning is to help us look at why is prayer important. But before I begin, I just want to mention about Craig Hoyo's excellent article on prayer in a recent Intersections magazine. Great. And acknowledge my use of Philip Clancy's book on prayer in preparing this lesson. According to various polls, more Christians will pray this week than they will exercise, drive a car, or go to work. Most pray regularly, and many claim to pray every day. To get some idea of the interest in prayer, Google it. Can you see how many of these? There's millions of them. Yet behind those impressive numbers
lies a conundrum. If you speak to ordinary believers about their prayer life, typically the answer you'll get to your questions are, is prayer important to you? Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. How often do you pray? Well, most days. Approximately for how long? Like 10 minutes? Or maybe 7, 5? Do you find prayer satisfying? Sometimes.
Yes.
Do you sense the presence of God when you pray? Occasionally, but not often. So why does prayer rate so highly in surveys as having theological influence, yet so low on surveys actually being satisfied? Maybe it's a product of what worked. Advances in science and technology no doubt contribute to our confusion about prayer. In former days, farmers lifted their heads to the heavens and appealed for an end to the drought. Now we study low pressure fronts, build dams, irrigation systems, and seed clouds with silver idols. In former days when someone fell ill, the family cry out to God or call for the priest. Now we take the latest pharmaceutical or the latest surgical technique. Prosperity may dilute prayer as well. Have you ever noticed when travelling in developing countries that people, including Christians, spend less time pondering the effectiveness of the prayer and more time actually praying? The wealthy rely on talent and resources to solve immediate problems, insurance policies and superannuation to secure the future. We can hardly pray, give us this day our daily bread, when the freezer is full of a month's groceries. Increasingly, it seems time pressures crowd out our ability to connect properly. Communication with other people keeps getting remoter and shorter. Emails, texting, instant messaging, or even sometimes just need emojis, that's all. We have less and less time for conversation, let alone contemplation.
And if we do choose to look inward and bare our souls, therapists and support groups now offer outlets that were once reserved for God alone. Praying to an invisible God does not offer the same immediate feedback one would get from a counsellor or from friends who will, at a minimum, nod their heads in sympathy over a cup of coffee. Immediate feedback, that's what we're after. We Christians know in theory that prayer is the essential human act. Intrinsically, we know that as humans, and especially as Christians. A priceless point of contact with God of the universe, with our God. So if prayer stands as the place where God and human beings meet, why is it that in practice our prayer life is so sporadic? And when we do pray, often it's sidelined to a few basic points, calls for God to take action, mainly about our immediate worries and for those close to us. There are many reasons why prayer is important, why actually engaging in thoughtful, thankful, need-filled dialogue with God does matter. And I think you know most of the reasons just as well as I do. List them off. But rather than go through another list of why prayer is important, I thought I'd go back to the main purpose of being a believer, which is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. Let's go back. Instead of looking at ourselves, let's look at Jesus. Why is it that when we read the Gospels, Jesus, the Son of God, who had spoken worlds into being, all that exists, why is it that he felt a compelling need to pray? Jesus prayed as if it made a difference. As if the time he devoted to prayer mattered every bit as much as the other parts of his ministry. And this was because Jesus was absolutely certain of three things. God exists, he is ultimately in control, and he does care about our prayers. In keeping with his Jewish race, Jesus truly believed that prayer could change things. And in spite of their tragic history of unanswered prayers, the Jews still maintained that a supreme and loving God listened, and that he would someday respond. And as Jesus was the fulfillment of the Jewish longing for their Messiah, flesh and blood came to earth, what better example do we have of the importance of faithful and persistent prayer? We have a loving God who keeps his promises, and he does respond to his faithful people, even going so far to providing the greatest gift of all, which was the risen Saviour. That's why prayer is important. In a broken world, we battle against suffering and uncertainty. And particularly as Christians, we come up against all manner of things in today's society. I don't know about you, but I wonder, why do I have to be confronted with attitudes and behaviour that to me just doesn't seem right? Why do I have to put up with what I see when I turn the telly on, when I go to the shops? Why do I have to put up with this? So just imagine how Jesus felt. He was hit by such a huge chasm between what life in heaven with the Holy Father was like, and then compare that to what life on earth with corrupted creation was like. If we feel like this, imagine how Jesus felt. Everywhere he went, people thrust their sick children toward him, lepers appealed to him, widows grieved, the demon-possessed mocked him, and even his own family rejected him. And in such an alien environment, he turned to prayer, both as a refuge from the teeming crowds and as a reminder of his true home, a place that had no room for evil, pain, or death. Jesus clung to prayer as a lifeline because it gave him both the guidance and the energy to know and do the Father's will and to maintain belief in the real world where he came from. That's a good reason why prayer should be important to us as well. As Peter said, I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. Our life on earth is but a vapor. It's a blink in eternity. Our bodies are just a temporary dwelling place for our eternal soul. As Christians, we are in this world, but not of this world. And just like Jesus, we need to get away from the noise and angst and busyness of 21st century life, to converse with our Heavenly Father, to confirm that we are still on track with the ministry that we've been tasked with. Balancing how we love our spouses, how we care for our kids, the pressure of work, whether we're nurturing our friendships, all the while maturing our faith. And just like Jesus, prayer for us is a lifeline to give us guidance and the energy to know and to do the Father's will. To maintain our belief in the real world to which we're heading. To remind us that this world is not my own, I'm just a passing through. Perhaps a reason why we act counter to our own belief in the importance of prayer is that as mortal beings with an earthbound, time-bound view on life, that's who we are, we don't register how God is continually acting in the world. Maybe as mortal beings we forget that God's purposes are eternal. We look for quick answers and obvious results. And if you're anything like me, you've already worked out in your own head how things should pan out. With your career, your kids, your relationships, your health, etc., etc. So when our list of things we pray for don't get answered just so, like I've got it worked out, we might begin to wonder what's the use of praying about it in the first place. Even some of Jesus' prayers didn't turn out in the short term, as far as I'm concerned, anyway, the way I would have thought they should. So what about when Jesus sought guidance for choosing the 12 men who would be entrusted to carry on his mission? Luke recounts Jesus went to a mountainside and spent the whole night praying to God. And when morning came, he chose 12 disciples who he designated apostles. Not just 10 or 15 minutes. He spent the whole night. And I would hope that if I spent the whole night praying for something, in fact, I think I'd expect it, or expect that after praying all night for God's guidance on such a crucial decision, pretty crucial, choosing the 12, that the answer would be pretty watertight. But Jesus sometimes grew exasperated when the 12 were disappointed him with their inadequate faith, arguing over their pecking order, inability to understand his explanations, or being bogged down in their own hopes of Jesus' worldly power and position. We know he was disappointed with them at times, frustrated. And then in the end of Jesus' life on earth, all 12 failed him at the hour of his deepest need. But eventually, 11 of the 12 underwent slow but steady transformation, ultimately providing the answer to Jesus' original prayer. The one exception, Judas, who betrayed Jesus, but even then that led to the cross and the salvation of the world. So my idea of when things should happen and what should happen, maybe I need to think a bit about that a bit differently than how Jesus thinks about things. As we've already acknowledged with our prayers, especially when trouble strikes, we want God to intervene decisively. And let's make sure that when he does, we are truly thankful. James Burt's case in point. But in order for us to have a lasting feeling of complete confidence in prayer, we need again to look at Jesus. Where we form our prayers on how we think God should act, it appears that Jesus was prepared to allow God to answer his prayers in the way that a sovereign Lord is entitled to. And if we're ever really going intrinsically to have prayer as part of our lives, we have to accept that life is uncertain. We have to accept God's provision for human beings is something that has underpinned humanity since the garden. And that is that we all have freedom of choice. And God has deigned to operate on this broken planet mostly from the bottom up rather than from the top down. And as the other 7 billion of us is allowed by the Father to each go about his or her daily existence, more or less as they choose. Freedom of choice, God given. That means there are an infinite number of variables that can influence the course of our lives. All of the wishing and hoping we do, I do, is susceptible to the wishing and hoping of a myriad of other individuals, both godly and ungodly. Prayer is not a means of removing the unknown and unpredictable elements in life. Okay? Prayer is not a means of removing the unknown and unpredictable elements in life. But rather, prayer is a way of including the unknown and unpredictable. By allowing the outworking of God and whatever plan he has for us to take place in our lives. It's a quantum shift in thinking. By surrendering to God's will in all its mysterious ways, no matter how it manifests, no matter how confusing, heartbreaking, or joyous things turn out. Somewhere in our heart and mind, God has to take his rightful place. And we have to let ourselves be content to go along with his plans for us. In spite of the chaos we sometimes face, we, that is I, need to let go of my reliance on myself and actually get on with living. Knowing that our Heavenly Father is in control. Prayer is a place, a means to be thankful that all we've been given. A confirmation of our true home. And a tonic to help us thrive in this coping with the unbearable, accepting the baffling, satisfied with the predictable and monotonous lives, and sometimes even experiencing the miraculous. Paul had no doubt as to where his ability came from. Philippians 4:11, 13. I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. If we truly want to be like Jesus and know the importance of prayer, we too need to be absolutely certain that our Heavenly Father exists, he is ultimately in control, and he does care about our prayers because Romans 8:28, We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Thank you.